Let's put our hands together and say this word. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive clarity as regards the supernatural, walking in the supernatural. As we have thought, we receive your word with meekness and with gladness. Our eyes are enlightened. Not just enlightened, we walk in the light of what we have thought tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we are looking at Pneumaticus series 3. Right? And this will be the 8th section. Hallelujah. We still have many more sections to go. Hallelujah. So we still have many more things to look at. So Matthew 28. Let's take it from there. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all of fault. Not to what path has he given unto me in heaven and in the earth. If you go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and know I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, go back to the word, know I am with you. Right? Know I am with you. But before we look at that, we say that instruction is to make disciples. And Mark will focus on what entry into it, right? Right? This is an instruction Jesus left his disciples with. He didn't tell them, go therefore and marry all nations. No! He didn't go therefore and look for good jobs. No! He said, make disciples. What are we doing? So he therefore tells us what the emphasis of God's Spirit is upon. What are you following? He tells us what the emphasis of God's Spirit is upon. Make disciples. Matthew says, preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be damned. And this man shall follow them that believe. This is that. In my name, Lord, I come there with those people in your tongues. They will take up suffering. And then we get the devil in and drop them. They will lay their heads on the sick. And the sick will recover. So then when God has come to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord, working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. So then Mark will focus on the entry into that discipleship, which in Luke 24 verses 47 will call repentance and remission of sins. You see that? So that when a man gets born again, his sins are forgiven. But let's get back. Yes. We say, it shows you what the focus of the Spirit is upon. See that? It shows you what God's Spirit is set on you. If you hold that, it says, all men say, that's how Paul was happy. It says, all men say, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Very, very vital. All men say. So that means, listen, I said this last week, I'm saying it again. That means, the believer's primary assignment in the earth is raising disciples. I said it last week, I'm saying it again. The believer's primary assignment in the earth is not to get married. The believer's primary assignment in the earth is not to build a refinery. I'm not saying building a refinery or getting wealthy strong. We're going to look at that. That's after this series. Amen. The believer's faith and material wealth. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. So we see what our faith has to do with becoming materially prosperous. Amen. What connection? What is the next? So we're going to look at that after this series. But the most important fact, or the most important thing I want you to see, is on the fact that that is not the primary work of the believer. You see that? Amen. Do you see that? When you go to live, it's not the primary thing, it's not the primary thing, it's not the primary assignment of the believer. You know, if believers, if people should wonder, if people would come to the realization of what this is, you know, some people I've once heard people say things like, why am I even born into Nigeria? How did I find myself into this country? Why did my father go on slave trade? Stop saying nonsense. Hallelujah. So that your children will not ask you when they grow up and say, Daddy, why weren't you this and that? Amen? So don't ask nonsense. Glory to God.
Amen. But when you understand what purpose really is, purpose is actually right in here. You are an astronaut man. Oh, sorry. So, but you were a Real Madrid fan. I love Real Madrid.
Very well.
But last night I didn't root for them. I love them so much. So much. They are my team. But don't that should happen to the whole world.
Amen. Amen. Let's continue. So when you understand what the believer's primary assignment is, there are some questions you will not ask anymore. Amen. There are some questions you will not ask anymore. Amen. So the believer's primary assignment in the end is what? The gospel. You see that? Amen. Glory to God. And this decision or the gospel, this assignment must affect every other decision of a believer's life.
It will tell you who to marry. It will tell you who, where to live, how to live. And every other decision. The kind of job you take. The kind of school you would go to.
What about the course? I don't know about that because of jam. Jam can give you any course. Amen. Somebody applied to go and read law. Jam gave him guidance and counseling. Amen. He wants to guide angels. He wanted to change the law. Wanted to change the law. And jam man gave him guidance and counseling. I said, wow. Time to man counsel angels. Guide angels and counseling. We're not trying to fetch himself. You know, but you say, no, as a pastor. We carry the Lord's rod and staff. Pentecostal. You are there. Amen. Amen. So, it must affect every aspect of the believer's life. Amen. Very vital. You don't build the gospel around your decisions. No.
You know, and it's very subtle. Most people do this often. They build the gospel around their decision. They've taken a decision and you say, okay, now, so that you can convict your heart. And say, okay, I'm going to build gospel around them. No. What are you going to do? So
you don't build the gospel around your decision. No. Amen. Very vital. You don't say, okay, I want to,
for example, people do this. And that is why there's a spirit called Japa. Now I like that.
Amen. But there's a spirit called Japa. Amen. So he just hit you, this man, bah! So you may not want to say your pastor is the pastor, sir.
When I get there, I'll be busy. You are building the gospel around you. You make your decision.
Amen. But it should be the other way around. Hallelujah. You should build your decisions around the gospel.
Did you see that? The gospel should take over what your decisions would be. Not the gospel around your decisions.
Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. And that will be order. Yeah? Remember that? That will be order. Order. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, let's quickly get there. 1 Corinthians 2:4, let's see this. Look at what Paul calls the gospel. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Amen. 2:4. It says, and my speech and my preaching were not with exciting or enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So he calls the gospel spiritual. Hallelujah. He calls it spiritual. Amen. He calls it that when the gospel is preached, it is the spirit that what? Puts in light on the dark surface. Amen. He calls that the word apodesis. Glory to God. So that will be order. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's very vital as believers. We'll learn to
recognize God's order. Paul would tell the church at Galatians, in Galatians 3:3, he said, who has believed you? what we should open this Galatians. He runs high five your spell for me. He said, that's what they're saying. He now said, haven't begun in the spirit. Is it that? So how did they start out in the spirit? First of all, when the word was spoken to them.
Right?
That's what Corinthians 2:4. They also know the truth about it. He said, when the man believes at that point, he has begun in the spirit. So that means order will be from the spirit. Is that what is the spirit and it's order? The gospel. So that means you create, you build your life.
Listen.
You build your life, your goal, your decision around the gospel. Not the other way around. Not the other way around.
So that will be order. Like I said to us last week, I said the spirit of God is order. The spirit of God will receive in the new birth is order. Order. Hallelujah. So the word itself, so first of all, the message, the gospel is spiritual. Right? The gospel is spiritual.
In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We said that is the Bible opening up within a supernatural world. Right? In a spiritual world. In a supernatural world.
And what's that song that sister what was her name again? Your sister said one time. He said the physical is good, Bible spiritual.
Very vital.
Amen. Amen. The physical is ruled by the spirit. So the Bible opens up with a supernatural world. So that means the earth is a supernatural world. Hallelujah. And then if listen,
if the earth opens a supernatural world, listen now. The earth opens, the Bible opens up the world for us as a supernatural world, spiritual, right? Right? We say the gospel to it is spiritual, right? Okay, follow me. When a man believes the gospel, what happens? He starts in the spirit, he's spiritual, he's born of the spirit, right? So, he's not giving that man that was born of the spirit, he's not giving the gospel, right? Make disciples, giving a supernatural assignment. This verse is, listen, the Bible opens up a supernatural book, supernatural world, shows us a supernatural world. We have the gospel, right, which is supernatural. We receive the spirit in the new birth. When the gospel, which is supernatural, is ministered to us, we then began in the spirit. We are supernatural men. We are spirit-filled men, right? Now we have been given a supernatural task in all the earth. You see that? A supernatural task in all the earth. So preach the gospel. So therefore, the preaching of the gospel raises disciples is a supernatural is a supernatural assignment. We can put it this way, is a supernatural activity. So that means the activity of the believer is supernatural. Or put the assignment is a supernatural assignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore we say the believer's life is first about the gospel. God isn't going to ask you what kind of job did you take. God isn't going to ask you what kind of why didn't you go for Shell? Say, no, sir, I love Chevron. I'm looking for Chevron to call. Say, oh, you want Chevron? I gave you Shell. You want Chevron? Say, no, I'm waiting for Exxon, sir. He said, I gave you... I gave you Kenya Best to Exxon.
Here we go. He said, sir, I was waiting. Oh Lord, I was waiting. Why I didn't work? It's because God is not even gonna ask you about work. I was looking for Santos to come back, and this is Santos. So I just chose.
He's not even gonna ask you all those questions. Amen.
I don't want bank, I want to, I now went for land job, you don't need land.
God is going to ask you that. God is going to ask you what you did with the gospel. What did you do with the gospel? What did you do with the gospel that is in your life? What did you do with it? You see that? So the gospel is first. Then if you then go nothing around.
walking in the place. What have you done with the gospel then? Yeah, that is what counts. Not when you are walking. It's what have you done with the gospel when you are walking. Hope you hear me. Hope you hear me. Glory to God.
I'm not saying tomorrow now you not carry the Bible and bed and go to work. Hey, green, green.
The pastor said, what are you talking about? They will sack you. The pastor said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to answer you in this matter. The pastor said, what God does ask you to do? Give yourself a because you will come back to church.
Every interaction, make sure you put the door.
Hope you understand that.
Hope you get that. For tomorrow morning, what do you now go around office? Then what are you doing? My pastor said. They will tell you to go and meet your pastor's employee. And your pastor is not an employee. Go.
You understand what I mean, right? Okay. Hope you understand what I mean.
Okay. Glory to God. Just know that every other decision about life, it should be around the gospel, not the gospel around them. Hope you hear me. Okay. So, we began looking at a few things last week. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's quickly look at those things again. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. It says, now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
What? I would say the Bible would be 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What? Strife, unbelief,
factions. Working in the flesh will be the what background, right? 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 21. That would be the background. And we said, that background of strife, look at it, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 19, said there must be heresies, divisions amongst you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, to one place, it's not to eat the Lord's supper. So Paul began to change. Probably going to change, give them or put light to why they come together. It says not to come and eat physical food. Did you see that? Right? So it's going to change it. We don't come together so that we can glorify the flesh. No. Hallelujah. Okay, follow it. So there is some very, very important. Remember, we said we weigh. Just bringing this to your remembrance again, you will weigh the conduct of a man who is carnal to that of an unbeliever. There will not be difference in conduct. Hallelujah. Carnal. Man who walks in the flesh. In conduct, you won't be. So, in fact, Paul will now put them together. He will now say the things of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 will be foolishness to them. Amen. Your learning, right? And the what? I mean the uninformed, right, and the unbeliever. You see that? Hallelujah. Who weigh those two together? Very vital. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, what do we say is Paul's solution? Who remember? What do we say is Paul's solution? Spirituals, the Genesis, right? The Genesis becomes Paul's solution. He changes the narrative. That when you come together, it's not to eat. It's to what? Spiritual. You see that? He changes it. And we find out in Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 quickly. From verses 2 into 3. He changes it. He says, chapter 2, he said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. This will be 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11. I thought were some of you. Did that? Yeah? I thought were some of you. Ephesians 2. We were there last week, right? Ephesians 2 verses 2. Right? Ephesians 2, 2. Are we correct? Okay. So, such were some of you. In the past. Oh, you are following me. In the past. Some of you in the past. Hallelujah. So watch this. In verses 3, God said, let there be light. I am light. Right? We saw the importance of that. I am light. It means God offers himself as the solution. Right? And that will be heaven and earth. Was that what we said? Right? Let there be light. That is God now. I'm sorry, I am light, right? That will be the solution. Heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And God saw the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness.
So I am light to thee, but you are washed. That is that union.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. You are washed. Glory to God. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. So God saw that brother, and he began to divide. Now we say that word divide is to separate light from darkness. So, and our role is not to do the same, not to separate. Our role is to recognize what God has done and walk in it. Right? Hallelujah. Okay. So God began to separate. He began to put things in order. Bada, to separate.
He began to put it in order. For us to identify. Very vital. Identify. And how would you identify from the scriptures? When you have taught the scriptures. So that's what we're teaching you. Or that's what I'm teaching you. Hallelujah. That you identify to from the scriptures and walk in it.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I will say, when you identify and walk in it, walking in that light, as a separated from darkness, we say that will be walking in the spirit, right? Was that what we said? Is that walking in the spirit? I need you to follow me now. Walking in the spirit. So we said, when Paul says walk in the spirit, he will be writing for Moses, right? So we said Moses went further. Moses went further to give them instructions that they mustn't copy the world.
Now, copying the world will be walking in darkness. We're going to see that shortly. Amen. He gave them instructions. And again, he will not preach those instructions with what? Food. Was that what I said? Food. Food they shouldn't eat.
But let's see those instructions. You know, I showed us about the... Okay, that should be on Sunday.
About the rock, right? The rock that followed them, how you must speak to what was said concerning that, right? Was that what I said? When he spoke about the tabernacle, I used the word pattern. Pattern is to show you the tabernacle is not the real thing, but you must look at what was said around that word, right?
Okay. So let's see some of those things. Hallelujah. So Moses will tell them not to copy what is obtainable in the world. Darkness, right? But rather they should follow God's plan. Let's look at Leviticus 18 quickly. Leviticus 18. Amen. You know what it says? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Amen. Amen. I'm the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, where ye dwelt, shall ye do not. I mean, shall ye not do. Can you see that? Should not do like what you've done in Egypt. Hope you have seen it. So Egypt will be where?
Come on, look up. Egypt will be where? The world. Right? Darkness. Right? Right?
Mark that. Okay? Ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whether I bring you, ye shall not do. Whether shall ye walk in their ordinances.
Which ordinances? The world. You see that? So he uses Egypt, and we get what? He says he actually did an identification unifier by saying what is obtainable in Egypt you also find in Canaan. We're talking about what is obtainable in the world.
Right? You find it, but you must not do what you see them do. Hope you're following me. Must not do what you see them do. Hallelujah. But rather you shall do what? Ye shall do my judgment and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You are delivered from Egypt.
Now as you get to Canaan, you must just stick to what? To my judgment and my ordinances. You see that? Not to what is available. Hallelujah. In the world. Okay, following me. That automatically shows you that Canaan is not the land. Hope you're following me. Shows you.
Canaan will just be a what? A prefiguring of what the land will be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he went ahead to tell them what they shouldn't do. You read down, he tells them not to have sexual immorality. God, they will find that also in Canaan. Look at verses 24 quickly. Verse 24. It says, Defy not ye yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defied, which I cast out before you. Do you see that? Amen. Defy not yourself in all these things. Very, very vital. But rather, what should you do?
What should you do?
You stick to my judgment and my ordinances.
And that is my
target. Right? My instructions. Go back to that verses 4 quickly. I skipped something. Sorry, verses 3. He said, after the doings of the land of Egypt. Now when you use the word doings there, is that word that implies a norm, a practice. So that means in the world they have a practice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They have a practice. It will be, so when you use the word doing, then he identifies the same practice you'll find also in Canaan and also in verse 24 in all the lands in which I cast out the bones.
Did you see that?
Amen. So they have a similar practice. They know. They're not going to learn from the world. Hallelujah. Because what will you have in the world? Come on, Genesis 1:2, Tohu wa Bohu.
Did you see that?
That's what you have in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go further. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, just two chapters away. Verses 22. How about it say? It says, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgment and do them, that the land whether I bring you to dwell therein spoil you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I what? Abhorred them. Did you see that?
You are not to copy from them.
What are you following me? You are not to do what? Copy from them. Deuteronomy, quickly. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9. And when thou hast come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Now let's pause there. Because all these instructions are instructions for the land. Right? So let me now ask you, what does the land mean to be? And it's just a left point answer. What does the land mean to be? D is C flat, so it's everybody for. What does that mean to be? I think it's a general word. Look at it. Based on what we are saying, what does the land mean?
Family, yes. Come on, I need to hear something. I'm not saying you're wrong, bro.
Okay. You are all correct. But
what about next Friday this week? And everything is encapsulated in what I want to say, the Lord's Day. Is that the day of the Spirit? Heaven and earth?
See the day? Right? Okay, remember,
they're getting into the land. So God is now giving them instructions for the land.
Right? So the instruction for the land will not be that, will not be walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. That means you can get to the land and still walk in the flesh. Right? Right? That means you can still live the Lord's Day, like the chocolate story, and still flow in the flesh. What we are saying, so it's not cast in stone. Okay, what is it? So you can still get to the land and still walk in the flesh.
They came out from Egypt. They saw the wonders. They saw everything. And all of them is the next worship idol.
This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Imagine that. We're going to get to idol today. Amen. Imagine that. He came out and he now brought an idol. Say it was an idol holding calf. And you saw God though. You are a little mad upstairs. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, there are people who can see walk in the flesh. And the name is the city. Amen. Glory to God. In fact, the very thing Moses told them not to do, that was the first thing, that was the very thing they did. Give us a king.
They went for a king.
Glory to God. So let's go ahead. Where were we? Okay. I'm here. I have to go to Deuteronomy 18, right? So, verses 9, right? He says, and when I come into the land, right? Heaven and earth. Right? Okay.
Let me now ask you. Look up. You will get to see this in maybe the next 2 years from now. Would that be just giving you the visa? Would that be guarding of the land? I don't expect any going to fire because I know I talked to you one of our special people.
It's a big garden of Eden. So does it mean look up now in that same garden of Eden? Wait,
that same garden. Okay, let me not cut. Let me not put spanner into your wheel. Let's just continue.
Amen. Let's continue. That was Garden of Eden. Amen. So you keep the instruction in Garden of Eden. Let's continue. Amen. Before some people will be very curious, those pastors will just come back. We'll get there. Hallelujah. But just know that I said something along this line today. When I begin to say it then, you would understand it. Okay. Amen. I wanted to say something, but I just have that restraint. Just not to talk about it today. Okay. But it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch. Witch is in the Bible. I don't think they carried mopping stick and was flying in the night. Amen? Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or the other. Amen. So for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. You see that? So will this be obtainable in the world? Yes. Will they find it among people that left the land? Yes. But then you shouldn't do it. Did they see these things in Egypt? Yes. So, what God is telling them is that you will see it again. Right? But you have to stay with my word. What are you following me here? You have to stay with my word. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Look at verses 13. It says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord I mean, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Amen. Okay, so glory to God. So he said, you will keep seeing this. These things are norms around the world.
It has become a norm. It has become a practice. But you must constantly stay with the world.
And did that come apply to our world today? We live in a world where a particular norm becomes so acceptable that a disagreement with that norm looks like a rebellion.
You know, sometimes the lie can be so much of a truth, or can be so much of a truth, that even the truth looks like rebellion. Everybody is just doing it. So,
it happens. It happens. But God says, even in such conditions, you must trust His word. Hallelujah. You must do what? Trust His word. Stay with His word. Hallelujah. And now He showed us Isaiah 52, where Paul will now write in 2 Corinthians that you should come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6, right? Come out from among them. Hallelujah. He shows the conduct. You must not be like the world. Come out from among them. That is the battle.
You must walk in what God has done, the Spirit. So you come out from what is it up to you in the world. We saw that last week, right?
Hallelujah. You come out from them. So Moses will go ahead to illustrate all this with the use of food. And we saw that last time. Unclean foods. And in their world, you will unite on clean foods to say, you see, these are, these will be the unclean works of darkness. Amen. In fact,
something we're going to see when we get to discuss on the beauty of Germany, you will see that we are not just, even on the clean food, there are some parts you don't eat to show uncleanness. You don't eat things like kidney. I'm going to show you the import of that, why you don't eat it. Hallelujah.
Amen. It's separated. It's called what? The order. It's separated. You burn this part. You eat this part. Hallelujah. So, Moses illustrated it with food very well. Hallelujah. We'll see all that as we progress in our teachings in the coming days and coming years. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, when you hear, walk in the Spirit, right? Right? It will be what? It should be what? Is it walking in? But yeah, walking in the Spirit. Is it walking in God's judgment, God's status, God's ordinances?
Yes. God's instructions of the Scriptures, instructions of the world. That's walking in the Spirit.
Walking in the Spirit is walking in instructions of the world. Hallelujah. Don't get it mixed up. Glory to God. So, what's the solution? The solution is, first of all, God offered Himself, that is the Spirit, and then the Bada.
What's that? The Spirit, then the Bada.
The Spirit, and then what? Walking in the Spirit. Do not forget it. It's not walking in the Spirit then. No. That's wrong. You can't even walk in the Spirit when you're not born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses will now illustrate it with the tabernacle.
Heaven and earth. Right?
That solution will now be heaven and earth, the tabernacle. Which pointed to the what? The gathering, the local church, the family, Bethel, heaven and earth, Bethel, family, God's family. So if we go back again to Moses' instructions, all of the instructions, again, we'll see something that's very unique. We'll do that in one of the sections. We'll see that Moses' instructions will be in their gathering. In their associations. We'll see all that. We'll get back to that Leviticus. Let's see those instructions. In their associations.
In their gathering. How they should behave. How they should conduct themselves. How we do. Hallelujah.
So, and we said the last time or in the previous series or in the previous sections, we said the practice of the things of the Spirit will be in our garden. Hallelujah. It will be in our garden. In our garden. So, and a major pointer for us when it comes to the garden is the Spirit with us. The Spirit with us, in us and with us.
And then the emphasis on the Spirit with us to be as strong as the emphasis of the Spirit in us. Is as strong as
Hallelujah. We see that scriptures was very strong on him being with us, the Spirit with us. Hallelujah. And we say this awareness brings about what? Reverence, right? Reverence amongst each other, amongst our reverence in our gathering. This awareness of the Spirit with us brings awareness in our gathering. Brings reverence in our gathering. The awareness of it brings reverence in our gathering. It brings about that sense of the miraculous. The miraculous. It brings about that sense of caution. Caution. And God leading. God leading. Or God leading. Or God. Or that awareness of God leading us as a family. That's better said. God leading us as a family. So you don't downplay the Spirit within with us. He's with us. He's amongst us. Hallelujah. And the lack of the recognition of the Spirit amongst us is what oftentimes leads to things like strife in the garden, strife. People throwing caution into the wind. Just that empathy of the Spirit. So as subtle as it looks or sounds, it's very strong.
You just think you have been enough. I don't want to be enough. That created a selfish believer. I'm going to deal with selfish. It created a selfish believer. For me to believe the word selfish believer is just like saying a good thief. You can't have a good thief. Selfish believer.
Remember, selfishness amongst us. You know, just now I'm not saying it's the same thing, but you know, a flip side of it will be looking at when we're growing up. Me and my elder brother, we usually will fight. We don't not really fight. We'll be done watching our Kogan and Mankind. We'll watch good. I used to have one of my best wrestler. I don't know his name. Doesn't look good for him. But I used to call him. What did I used to call him? I have one name for him. Just so when they have to fight, we will quickly choose who's our old man. We don't know how. This is my guy. So we never answer. So when they are done with the fight, who will now fight our own wrestling match? Wrestlers will fight wrestling. And there will be nobody above who fight. Blah blah blah. You stand on top of the chair. Count. One. Two. Winner. I'm going to carry my father's military bill. Winner. But when my dad is around, now whether that he is around, you know you will be able to say, read what? Only read this. Everyone will carry book.
You be reading book. Maybe, yeah. Where your eyes is on questions. Where is Mr. Wosu? I hear Mr. Wosu is on Christmas and Mr. Jesus. Mr. Wosu is carrying a chicken. I is on the button.
So, you know, you just want to show that you are reading. You go and carry understanding mathematics. You know that book? You know understanding mathematics? That one is not New General Mathematics, the one you have to do. You go to the back and see answer. There's no answer anywhere. That is why that some blocks want to teach you math. You go answer, look at the back, look at that man. Now do we move in the question?
Check the back.
Hope is good. It's not good, nothing. This one,
this one, your mother will solve math for you. You and your mother will draw them over there. You will come home with them. So you just could see that.
Yeah. Now, what I'm not saying, listen, don't say I'm saying the presence of the Spirit with us makes you to, no, I'm just saying, just the fact that my dad is around. Do you know who my dad is? He's the calm type. But the fact that he's around the globe, he's around the globe. The one person you don't want to teach your assignment is my mom. But once, because you receive a lot of knock. Before you're done, your head will have received the sign. In fact, even the beating to the cross, I'm better you receive the beating. I'm serious. For me, that's sarcasm there. But I'm serious. You just the knock will be too much. As you are saying, yes, if I yes. Yeah, hold it. No, read. If I hear, see, imagine I say, hold it, I say, there and read. You know that presence alone, you are cautious. I think you want to do what? You want to do gongo what? Gongo power? Power what? We don't play. My father will see his rubber leaf, he will see his butter. Nothing is easy. You know what I call butter? You know what I call what? You know butter.
You are children of the earth.
You know butter.
You know what father was? You know kids the world.
No, you can't do it, but I don't know kids the world. The day my father sees all my rubber leaves, I was just looking at him like this. How he knew I had,
those boss on HQ NAF camp is coming at me. Some people already know.
Oh, and the one I like is, you carry five of our legs, shoot to the wall. The one to kiss well. And I will target where to hang on the wall. The father he goes, is that you? I won. So that day, his brother was all over my hand. I didn't know my wonderful father was at my back. He just saw his phone all over me. If he had shown it, you know, they should do catch kabu. kabu. Who catch and I don't know. If you had done that, I would have marked everybody that speak and go and fight them. But he carried scissors in my front. If he had torn it and done it, that would have been enough. Plus,
and went back the next day to one rubber. I went to beg one rubber new and began to win again.
Just imagine that kind of I'm not going to give you my story, but please don't allow me to say some funny things. I don't want to talk. I just say funny things. I began to win again. But most people that see here is now, no, just watch that kind of, because of the fact that he's around. There are some things we can do when he's not around. But when we know he's around, even if he's sleeping, you can't try. Go and play with your ball. He did my father saw me play, but he never believed I can kick ball. He didn't believe.
No, I was shocked.
I said, no, it doesn't do it. He just reads his book, sleep, wake up, eat. I'm like, the boy.
Amen. But just him being around alone, you can't do all those things. Now, you know, we don't just
imagine God being around.
No, we have the Spirit of God with us. Hallelujah. It brings caution. It brings, you don't throw caution into the wind. No, it brings that sense of the miraculous, you know, yes. You know, you have hope for the miraculous. You have faith for the miraculous. Hallelujah, God is here. Hallelujah. God is here.
So, amen. Very vital. God is in our midst. So a lack of that consciousness, awareness of God being with us, creates what I call selfishness. It breeds selfishness.
And selfishness is not the fruit of the Spirit.
It's not a fruit of the Spirit at all. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Today we'll call it self-love.
Some people snap pictures and put online and say self-love. What's that? It's self-love. What do you find that in the Bible? It's in the world.
You know, people do it that is not normal. They say self-love.
There's nothing called self-love in Scripture. Hallelujah. There's nothing called self-love.
See, I'm just admiring myself. Sure, alright. It's just self-love. No, it's not scriptural. Hallelujah. Amen. And what do you have? Listen, what is the root of self-love?
In scriptures. What is the root of self-love? What is the background of self-love? Huh? Kill. What is the root? In Cain and Abel.
Yeah, most of the people don't see that in self-love. Let's get to Cain and Abel. You're going to see something. Genesis 4. Self-love. Genesis 4. Cain got angry because Abel's sacrifice was accepted. He was angry. He was pained. Hallelujah. Because of self-love, you get bitter when others progress. Jealousy. That's self-love. Self-love is actually jealousy.
Don't place yourself above everybody in the world. So another person just gets better than you, you get jealous. Self-love. All about me.
It's only me. It's self-love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He got angry. Look at God's response to him. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 5. But Otto came and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said to him, Cain, why are thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? He that does well shall thou not be accepted? And if thou does not well, say, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall his desire, shall be his desire. Mark that word, shall be his desire, sin personified. And thou shalt rule over him. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what it's saying there is that at the root of self-love, the origin of self-love in scriptures will be found in Cain and Abel. Right? His countenance fell. Now, God now the time is sin. Remember, the sin lies at the door. Now he personified it. Say this person first. I'm not going into that state.
But he says, since sin lies at the door, is personified a person, therefore it means Satan standing at the door. That's what it means. Amen.
So that means in self-law is the devil. Satan.
Lies at the door. Like that word lie there is the word used for crouch.
See, crouches at the door. The same word used for is the word used for animals, beings. See that he crouches at the door. rather than sin is a present thought.
Okay, following you. See, these are the doors. So, something you need to see. And you'll find similar accounts on Judas. Look at Judas. The moment there was an alabaster box.
Listen, you remember Judas himself. Alabaster box broken and the perfume was spilled on Jesus. He got angry. Why was he angry? Was this his money? No. Is this his own? No. He didn't spend it on you? No. So why are you angry? Selfish. Selling material box. Listen. And Jesus refused him. He got mad, he says he got angry. Right? If you read that account of this thing, he says Satan got into him. He lied at the door. Listen, Satan got into him. That is anger. He got jealous. Selfishness. Self-love. Selfishness. Self-love.
At the back of it is the devil. Hallelujah. God doesn't breed self-love. God doesn't breed selfishness. No. The Spirit doesn't breed selfishness at all.
Some people don't know how to even watch their pastor. How did I even tell your pastor write self-love? That's something like self-love. I'm just admiring myself. Son of God. So what happened in this case?
At all. Hallelujah. Rather than self-love, selfishness, we are told to do what? Love others as we love ourselves. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. Paul is reading. Yeah, look as if Paul is taking it from the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 22. Well, he sure did. Hallelujah. Galatians 5 verses 14. Are you there? He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus will say that in Matthew 22 verses 39, where he says, now the second step unto the first, he says, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Now, I've heard people give this in several meanings. It means love thy neighbor as yourself. That is, you can't love your neighbor above yourself.
It sounds nice or stupid. Amen. You can't love your neighbor more than you love yourself. Say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because you didn't really understand what it means by love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
When you see what, I checked out that Greek word. It means you. The same love you have, you think you have for yourself, take it away from yourself and put on your neighbor. That's what it means. That's how the Greek is. So it means take the love from yourself and put on your neighbor. Amen. This is not self-love. Take it and put on your neighbor. That is love your neighbor just as you love yourself. So that way you love yourself, transfer it from yourself and put on your neighbor. That's what it means. So therefore, you automatically mean love your neighbor more than you love yourself. And we have an example of Jesus.
Amen. So love your neighbor as you love yourself will be sacrificial. You take it from yourself and put it on your neighbor. Rather than self-love, it should be brotherly love. So the neighbor there in context,
if you read from verses 13 to 16, you will see that the neighbor there in context is talking about the brethren. Say, for brethren, we have been called into liberty. Let's use not our liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Did you see that? This, so the neighbor there is referring to what the brethren, the local church. So you take from yourself and put from them.
Okay, following. So the
love there, love your neighbor as yourself will be brotherly love. Did you see that? Take from yours what you think is supposed to be yours. Take it away from yourself and give to another. Hallelujah. And he calls it walking in the spirit in verse 16. Walk in the spirit. That said, then walk in the spirit. Brotherly love. You see that? Love your neighbor. Hallelujah. As you love yourself. It means take away the love from yourself and put on your neighbor. That will be walking in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
The opposite of it is self-love. And you find it in all the epistles. The instruction in all the epistles. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's called brotherly love. We'll read all this next week. Romans 12 verse 10. Let me see how we can go. Romans 12 verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 4 9. Hebrews 13 1. 2 Peter 1 7. Romans 12 10. 1 Thessalonians 4 9. Hebrews 13 1. 2 Peter 1 7. Brotherly love. Will be love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hallelujah. And Paul will then bring in the practicability of this thing, of this word, brotherly love, into the local church.
Into the church at Paul. He brings the practicality.
Brotherly love, now brings it into the church at Corinth. I wish I have much time, much more time to go into this in details. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And bringing the practice of this brotherly love in the local church, especially in the church at Corinth, he will say you seek the welfare of your brothers first. That's what you do. That's what Paul taught. You seek the welfare of your brothers first. In Philippians 2:3, look at how he puts it. And Romans 10:10. Look at Philippians 2:3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That vainglory, is that self-love? Selfishness? Yeah. Strife. Strife is bred by selfishness. But in lowliness of mind, let him esteem others better than themselves. Did you see that? And also esteem others
in the local church better than themselves. That is it. That is brotherly love.
He repeats it in Romans 10:10 quickly. Romans 10:10. It says here, for with the heart man, Romans 12:10. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very vital. Very vital. So last week we began looking at 1 Corinthians 8. How we must place the brethren even above in our practice. Did you look at that a bit?
I don't want to rush that today. Maybe I'll have to take that to your next week. I'll
need
a whole lot of introductions.
And let us jump into this because we're still far away from where we're supposed to be by now. Amen. 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 We have to look again into Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 10 critically. It becomes very critical in our study
of walking in the Spirit amongst ourselves. Hallelujah. Okay, for me. Not very critical. It's how we walk in the Spirit. Because we need to re-echo it again and again. Wait. Amen. How we see each one. How we see each other. Because God is with us.
Hallelujah. The Spirit with us. Amen. The Spirit with us. We see that. And then we look at several other things we have to look at again and again. Amen. We learn something? Have you learned something? Are you sure? I'm sure you've learned something this evening.